The Bible.
The good book.
The Word.
It makes 490 references to heaven.
And 530 to love.
Yet it makes over
1,000
references to the earth.
To our planet.
To our home.
The earth and its fullness are the Lord's. 1 Corinthians 10:26.
Are we called to care?
Are we called to care?
Are we called to care for the earth?
What does the Bible actually say about the environment?
So you have Revelations in there where God's going to completely destroy the world. So if you're a really religious person, then you're not really going to care because you're going to have a feeling that God's going to destroy it anyway.
I think it's more about interpretation of the Bible.
Because it will take all religious communities, all faith groups, but when American evangelicals that number in the tens of millions combined with Catholics, equally important and influential in the American political community, say together, this is important, it is God's priority, we have to do it, and we will not stand longer for politicians to dilly-dally around in this city, this Washington city that I'm sitting with you here today, doing nothing.
And now, Understanding the Times with Jan Markell, a program committed to helping you contend for the faith and view current events through the lens of the Bible. Here's Jan Markell.
If we were to consider what is the biggest problem in the world today, I think we would all list a few of the same things. There's war. Right now, there's 130 official wars taking place around the world, and there are 30,000 nuclear warheads still available for war. There's, of course, greed, and there's immense poverty. Tonight, 1 billion people will go to bed hungry. Well, those are all good choices for what to put at the top of the list. But what I answered my wife was that the world is dying. I did not answer that way because I'm an environmental scientist, but simply because I'm a physician who has had a number of decades to observe change. There are no elms on the Elm Street in this city or in any city in the United States. There are no chestnuts on Chestnut Lane. There are no caribou in Caribou, Maine. The most numerous commercial fish, the blue pike from the Great Lakes, went extinct when I was in high school. You cannot make a living fishing for cod in Cape Cod.
Welcome to the program, and I certainly don't want to put down Dr. Matthew Sleeth. Well-meaning, but he is asking evangelical Christians to see an environmentally dying world as the global crisis on the planet, more significant to him than nuclear war issues and global poverty. He heads the organization called the Blessed Earth. The Earth is not dying, folks, but it will one day, not from climate change, but rather because God will say, you know what, time's up. I'm coming back, and we're going to have a new heaven and a new earth. And until that time, the planet is under a curse. So the question of the hour is, should Christians try to save the planet? Can we really have heaven on earth again if we just get on the environmental bandwagon? Folks, we do have organizations trying to save the planet. We have the Blessed Earth Ministry. That is Dr. Sleeth. We have Restoring Eden. We have the Evangelical Environmental Network. Nowhere in the Bible does it say we can restore our planet to Eden conditions. Having said that, now, we shouldn't be trashing it, of course. I mean, reckless mankind can do that very capably. But should entire evangelical and conservative Christian ministries be dedicated to saving trees when the Bible says we're to save souls? The commandment is to go and win the lost while there's time, okay? Time, energy, resources. I think, as does my guest who will come on shortly, should be directed at saving the lost, not saving trees. Now, this is a controversy. I want to play a short clip that will outline what this controversy is all about.
NBC News in depth tonight. Global warming. It has sparked a heated debate among Christian evangelicals. Conservative Christian leaders are divided over whether protecting the environment, what some call creation care, is an important moral issue. Here's NBC's Kevin Cork in depth.
From abortion to same-sex marriage to the Ten Commandments in the public square, Christian evangelicals have presented a united front for years. But now, an issue that appears to be uniting much of the country, global warming, is driving a wedge in the evangelical community. On one recent Sunday, polar opposite views from two pulpits.
But we shouldn't be hugging trees and worshiping the creation more than we worship the Creator, and that is what global warming is all about.
I happen to believe there is global warming, and I happen to believe that humans have something to do with it, and I happen to believe that we can do something to correct it.
It started when Reverend Richard Cizik, vice president of the 30-million-member National Association of Evangelicals, proposed fellow Christians adopt a climate initiative, calling on Congress and the White House to fight global warming. The debate quickly split evangelicals, and each side looked to bolster its view by turning to a familiar source, the Bible.
To be stewards of this earth, that's what the Bible says we are, stewards of it. We're to care for it, for God.
But other prominent evangelicals say the fate of the earth is in God's hands.
While the earth remaineth, until then, seed time and harvest, that spring and fall, shall not cease.
For years, evangelicals have built a strong coalition by focusing on issues of faith and family. And there's some leaders in that community that are concerned that by branching out into environmental activism, they not only dilute their message, they undermine their strength.
We believe that Richard Cizik and his colleagues are dividing evangelicals and setting them at odds with each other.
They're people who would really like to expand the agenda, and maybe climate change is just the first step. They'd like to be concerned with poverty, with international human rights, with a whole variety of issues.
Cizik's opponents, seasoned by tough political battles, have painted a caricature of him that he's been forced to challenge.
Not all environmentalists are left-wing, Christian-hating, pantheistic druids.
A battle of stereotypes dividing a movement that's fought being stereotyped from the outside in the past. Kevin Cork, NBC News, Washington.
There you had the problem laid out there in about a two-minute clip. And yes, that Richard Cizik probably has done more damage to evangelicalism than just about anybody. He did fall on his sword and left the National Association of Evangelicals back in 2008. So here are my four real quick reasons that I have issues with this evangelical environmental movement. Just going to take me a second or two here. Then I'm going to bring on Mike Oppenheimer from Let Us Reason Ministries. The number one problem with it, as I see it, is that much of it has morphed into earth worship. Issue number two with it is that many of the leaders of this movement are anti-capitalist, pro-socialism, and even pro-Marxism. The cult of environmentalism is a cheap way to indulge a vaguely leftist dislike of industrial capitalism while enjoying all the benefits that a high-tech, oil-fueled, free market economy confers on them. Number three, I believe the movement, hardcore within the movement, it's really all about diminishing Earth's population. The secular left within the global warming climate change movement, this is first and foremost on their mind. I am not sure how evangelicals justify this. Number four, I believe the real agenda behind it is all globalism, the one world system. And lastly, I believe the movement is cult-like and is politicized nature love camouflaged with science. It permeates the popular culture, our public schools, where kids are taught lies about drowning polar bears and melting ice caps. The quasi-pagan cult celebration Earth Day is solemnly celebrated. Carbon-based fuels are demonized, and driving a Prius, folks, is a sacrament. but in each case, the apocalyptic predictions have all ended in a whimper, and the science supposedly supporting them exposed as partial, incomplete, politically motivated, and riddled with unexamined assumptions and, at times, frankly, outright fakery. My guest this hour is Mike Oppenheimer. The ministry is Let Us Reason. Mike and I will be dialoguing about this particular issue. I will be recommending a DVD he has produced. And Mike Oppenheimer, welcome back to Understanding the Times Radio.
Glad to be back. Obviously, you can't find a more important but controversial topic than this one that we're now going to discuss. The quotes you played by Matthew Sleeth, who's the author of Serve God and Save the Planet, A Christian Call to Action, which I think is revealing in its own topic there. He says the biggest problem is war, greed, poverty, but all these are byproducts of sin. And the world is dying from what? The effect of sin. And so we can't really address any of this or think about any of these things without a biblical perspective. And of course, the enemy's focus on Christians is to remove them from saving people into the real kingdom of God by the gospel and get them involved in other things that seem to be good within itself but have no eternal benefit. And I think that's exactly what's going on here with this infiltration of the New Age movement's agenda into the church.
Yeah, and that's what's troubling, Mike. I mean, I think the secular world has certainly gone off after sort of a, well, again, it's kind of the cult of junk science. And I know I make people angry when I say things like that. There's no evidence for global warming. Folks, look at the news. What's happening in Europe? The winter of 2011, 2012, the continent of Europe is an iceberg. People are dying by the droves because of the bitter cold over there. Mike, you said something, and I want to play off of it. Man cannot reverse the fallen conditions. It doesn't mean we should abuse nature, but only the millennium can right the wrongs of the earth, nature, and mankind. This world is not our home, but when I say that and when you say the things you're saying, at the same time, we do want to be good stewards, and we need to make that crystal clear.
I totally agree with that. However, we need to be balanced in this and be very careful with it, because you can easily get moved over into the camp of this radical environmentalism where you get engulfed with everything that these people are involved in, and you will be removed from thinking biblically. It's
yes.
A totally different worldview. It has a different idea of who God is, if there is even a God. There, most of them believe in a goddess, Mother Earth. So you're dealing with a whole different set of circumstances and ideas that are accompanying this whole save the environment, save whatever animals. It all comes down to, is it going to be focused on what the Bible teaches, or is it something else that is being brought in to substitute the Bible? And I see that as a huge substitute. And, you know, you brought up global cooling. The idea of global warming doesn't seem to be carrying it the weight it once did anymore. Back in 1974, Time magazine wrote an article saying that there was another ice age coming, and they believed that global cooling was going to affect everybody. Somewhere along the line, it got switched and went to global warming, and now we're finding that more scientists are believing that we're involved in a global cooling effect again.
Mike, let me just play a real short clip to back up exactly what you're saying.
When we're talking about CO2, the idea is the more CO2, the warmer it gets.
That's the idea.
Right.
Not true, but that's the idea.
But we're in a cooling period.
Yes.
And I'm hearing now scientists say that the cooling that is happening only proves how warm it's getting.
That's right, and that makes no sense, does it?
No.
No, none whatever. No.
So show bring over, these are from Newsweek. Did you see these?
Yes, I've seen the original article from 1975, yeah, from which these are the two graphs.
Show me. Put these up on the screen.
Here you've got the fall in temperatures from around 1945, roughly, until around 1970. And by that stage, they were all beginning to say, oh, we're heading for global cooling, we're heading for another ice age. And John Holdren, who is now the science advisor, believe it or not, to the President of the United States, he said at this time, in 1975, this is what he said. He said, there's going to be so much ice accumulating in Antarctica because of the extreme cold that's coming because of our activities on the planet, that that ice will fall over into the ocean and cause the largest tidal wave in human history and wipe out coastal civilizations everywhere. What, that was John Holdren in 1975.
What year did that happen?
Oh,
the big tidal wave. I missed that. You know what? There was no Fox News at that time. That's why you never saw that.
John Holdren, Mike, who currently is part of the Obama administration and pushing the climate change hysteria.
Yes, and well, let me add to that. A Nobel Prize-winning physicist in 1977 said the U.S. was not considering any large-scale geoengineering projects where science is used to reverse global warming, but was in favor of white roofs everywhere. And he said these white roofs and roads in urban environments would offset the global warming effects of all the cars in the world for 11 years. And he says if you look at the buildings, you make the roofs white, and if you make the pavement more of a concrete type of color rather than black type of color, if you do this uniformly, there will be an equivalent of reducing the carbon emissions due to all the cars in the world by 11 years, just taking them off the road for 11 years. So he's talking about more pale surfaces will slow down the global warming. Well, this was said by Dr. Stephen Chu, who is part of the administration, the environmental part of the administration, who wants to paint everything white, roads, roofs, so it won't absorb heat. But where's the logic in all this? Because, for one, white roads blind you on a sunny day. We've all heard of snow blindness. And this is the kind of non-thinking ideas they come up with. Where's the heat going to go? It's going to go in the air, the very place you do not want it to go. And actually will put heat in the atmosphere. So, you know, they come up with these ideas that sound groundbreaking and want to help, but none of them, or very few of them, will make sense when we're facing the real crisis, which is the one they're making.
Well, they're making it because of their hidden agenda. You say, Mike, and I'm quoting you now, that the biblical view is that God made man of superior intelligence to care for the earth from which he was made from. The secular science view leaves God out of the equation and looks to nature as having the last say on what takes place for all her creatures. This leaves our focus on Mother Earth as the solution to any environmental problems. And then you say, Mike, global warming has been a useful tool in the hands of the globalists to reshape our world and its economy. It is now cleverly called climate change because of the obvious fluctuation of the weather, but they still blame even the cold on global warming. There is an agenda here. The issue that you and I are raising in this particular program is that well-meaning, we hope, evangelicals are buying into this and selling it like crazy.
Yeah, and I think we need to go back to the source of all this, where it's all coming from. And we find the United Nations is the centerpiece for a global governance, which our current administration is willing to work with on all levels. And we have David Rockefeller, who's a globalist, who said, we are on the verge of a global transformation. All we need is the right major crisis, and the nations will accept the new world order. And we find the Club of Rome offered people that crisis. They said in their first global revolution, in searching for a new enemy to unite us, we came up with the idea that pollution, the threat of global warming, water shortages, famine, and the like would fit the bill. All these dangers are caused by human intervention, and it's only through changed attitudes and behavior that they can be overcome. The real enemy, then, is humanity itself. Now, you know, when you start reading their own quotes,
yes,
and you start hearing what they're saying, what their goals are, how they want to accomplish these things. You have to see it for what it is. It is not something that is so pure and so beneficial as so many people want to make it out to be.
Folks, if you join me late, you are listening to Understanding the Times Radio, and I'm Jan Markell, your host. This particular segment, I am dealing with the issue of, well, Christians joining the jumping on the global warming climate change bandwagon, and the fact that we believe, my guest and I, Mike Oppenheimer from Let Us Reason Ministry, it's letusreason.org, letusreason.org. You can sign up for his e-newsletter there. We believe that some of the leaders of Christian/evangelical organizations are actually misleading the flock by going overboard on an issue that is rooted quite often in pantheism. Well, we're going to go back and look at Earth Day in a little bit later. We'd see some of the pantheistic, the pagan aspects of Earth Day, and yet the evangelical outfits have no issue with actually celebrating or acknowledging or recognizing Earth Day. Mike, as long as I'm on that topic, let's just jump to there real quickly, and then I'm going to mention the DVD that you've made so we can get folks to have some interest in that. But talk to us just a little bit about this Earth Day.
Well, you know, Earth Day is not what people have been told in particular. For one, when you look at it, we find it's being celebrated on Lenin's birthday. So you have to wonder, why would an environmentalist want to be tied in with a mass-murdering Marxist? The Green Movement has been the home for communists for some time now.
Mm-hmm.
You have radical environmentalists, feminists, Marxists, the peaceniks of the 60s, who are now what we might call the millennial hippies. They're all involved in this. And so Earth Day has people focus on saving the planet. And at first, it looks like a very innocent yet productive way of helping things along. Everybody wants a cleaner environment. What is presented throughout all this is just very radical videos, speeches that are very much anti-Christian and very much even anti-humanity. So when you hear what these people have to say, it gets pretty concerning. For instance, one man from the German Green says, "We in the Green Movement aspire to a cultural model which killing a forest will be considered more contemptible, more criminal than the sale of a six-year-old child to Asian brothels." The former Wildlands Project director said the collective needs of non-human species must take precedence over the needs and desires of humans. So the focus is turned away from humanity, and it's more concerned about the environment at the cost of humanity.
We have the Bible, which says, I mean, we are to care for the creation. And I think that evangelicals should not be trying, and this is how we opened the program, not be trying to save the planet. We cannot have heaven on earth, as some suggest, because that will only happen. And Mike, here's the catch. We have churches and pulpits that are silent about the Lord's return. We have churches and pulpits that are silent about a last day scenario. But in the meantime, before the Lord's return, I mean, we realize that all creation groans, Romans 8:22, and some of these issues are never going to be resolved, this fallen planet issue. But see, the thing is, Mike Oppenheimer, I've never met a Bible-believing Christian who suggests that because creation is lost, just like man is lost, we should therefore abuse the creation. I know no Bible-believing Christian who wants to do anything to harm the creation. Now, I am coming across a little bit on the harsh side right now, but let me just ask my executive producer here, Larry Kutzler. Larry, what do you know about my passion for all things creation, for which 25 years has lived outside my window?
You have animals all over the place, and it's really nice to see how loving you are to these animals. I mean, you treat them better than children.
What, how do you respond to that? I got a bunch of critters running around the house. I love them. All right, they're my kids. Anybody with pets out there, you understand that. But I've got them outside my window, and I've had them outside my window for 25 years. I love them to death. I can even put names on some of them. I'm going crazy here, Micah. I'm sorry, but I'm trying to make a point that people like you and myself and Larry here, we love the creation.
Of course, we don't want to bring any harm. But see, there's a lot of false arguments out there and people overreacting to the Christian worldview. And so they bring up straw man arguments as if you're not involved and you're not dedicated like they are, therefore you don't, you know, enjoy creation and love the creation in a way that we should because of, you know, how God has created it for our enjoyment, not for our abuse. And so they make it seem like Christians are the abusers when, in fact, that's not the case.
Larry, why don't you go ahead? Tell us what you experienced last weekend.
Well, Jan, my wife and I were looking for a new church home, and there's a new church started in our neighborhood, and we decided to take it in and see what was going on. And it was a nice church setting. I think there were about 250 young people in their 20s or 30s. They were starting a new series, and that new series was dealing with the 7 days in Genesis. The bottom line, Jan, was instead of the preacher making some reference to the fact that there is a creator and a redeemer, she referred to primarily that there was a creator, and that creator gave us the responsibility to take care of the creation, and it has never changed. So she left her audience with the idea that the mandate of God from Genesis chapter 1 was that we were to be creation care specialists.
Mike Oppenheimer, how do you respond to that?
Well, there's a real problem with that. And one is because you're ignoring what happened after the fall.
That's right.
Of course, Adam and Eve were put out of the garden. The earth was cursed. Then we come far later to when mankind's population grew. Evil was overtaking mankind even more so that God himself destroyed much of the creation, judged it,
right.
We would say, and Noah and his family were saved through the flood. And after that, we find that the harmonious relationship with animals was no longer the same. Mm-hmm. Animals were now allowed to be eaten, which is a problem for many of the people that are involved in saving the environment because they believe that everybody should be vegetarians. And basically what they're trying to do is bring everybody back to a Garden of Eden type mm-hmm. of world that for us today, which can't happen until Christ comes back and sets everything back into order.
Right, and that's what the trouble I have with some of these ministries, the Blessed Earth, probably a little bit more so trouble with an outfit like Restoring Eden, because that just isn't possible, folks. It's just not going to happen. We have just the opposite. We have the earth decaying because of sin, as we've tried to explain. There's a very interesting DVD Mike Oppenheimer has made, The Political and Religious Deception of the Green Movement. You can get more information. You can purchase it at letusreason.org. And the video covers the re-education of our children to be global citizens, the media's bias and subsequent brainwashing of the mass to accept green policies. It has also infringed on the church. This video presents the quotes of those involved and gives answers through PowerPoint video with logic, actual facts, and most importantly, the Bible. So be aware of what's taking place. Become educated. This issue is not going away. It is affecting Christianity. I've seen the DVD. It's an hour and 10 minutes. Letusreason.org. Letusreason.org. Olive Tree is not carrying it at this time. We certainly may in the future. But Letusreason.org is the place to get that DVD. A couple of quick comments as we enter our bottom of the hour break. Remember, Understanding the Times 2012, we've got Dr. Mark Hitchcock, Bill Koenig, Dr. Erwin Lutzer, and others. That's October 5th, 6th at Grace Church, Eden Prairie. Just put it on your calendar now. Remember, this programming goes up on my website, an all-new one coming out in a week or two, olivetreeviews.org, posted on Saturday, olivetreeviews.org. We're coming back in just a couple of minutes. By the way, we welcome American Family Radio Network, another 123 stations as of last weekend. Don't go away. Don't touch that dial. I'm coming right back.
For perspectives that keep you informed, check out olivetreeviews.org. Understanding the Times Radio is committed to bringing you insights on all the issues of the day from a biblical perspective. We base our views on what the Bible teaches, and we bring you the best in commentary from all over the nation. For more information about this ministry, check us out online at olivetreeviews.org. That's olivetreeviews.org. If you're not online, call our office at 763-559-4444. That's 763-559-4444.
Would you like to be kept in tune with our times beyond the radio program? Olive Tree Ministries offers both a print and an e-newsletter. The ministry's website has been called one-stop shopping by some, from articles to news to radio programs to a store with 36 products. All of this has been designed to keep you tuned in and contending for the faith. If you would like one CD a week of this radio program, that's available for $15 a month, or call with the special order of a favorite program. You might consider purchasing the CD or the DVD of the Understanding the Times 2011 conference. Call 763-559-4444 Monday through Friday, Central Standard Time. That's 763-559-4444. Or check us out on the web at olivetreeviews.org. Call or click today.
God is using Understanding the Times to help change lives all over the world. Rebecca writes from Portland, Oregon, "Everyone should hear the inconvenient truth Jan talks about. It enables me to discern the times." This from Peter in Washington State, "When I need a dose of reality that still offers hope, I tune in to Understanding the Times Radio." Jan Markell is committed to discerning the truth and sharing the good news. And while the gospel is free, the means to deliver it is not. Your gift to Understanding the Times is fully tax deductible and helps ensure that we're able to continue to reach people through radio and other media. You can send your gift to P.O. Box 1452, Maple Grove, Minnesota 55311, Box 1452, Maple Grove, Minnesota 55311, or call 763-559-4444. That's 763-559-4444. Of course, you can always give safely and securely at olivetreeviews.org.
Understanding the Times Radio with Jan Markell brings you insights each week that will help you discern the times based upon a biblical worldview. Jan's guests are national speakers and commentators who are cutting edge as they inform us on issues in our world. Discerning the times is a theme for every Christian so that you can be informed. You can listen to all of Jan's programs online, or you can become a CD subscriber and be mailed one CD a week of Jan's programs for only $15 a month. This way you can listen again to all of the programs and pass them along to your family and friends. Check out this information at our website, olivetreeviews.org. That's olivetreeviews.org. You can also write us at Olive Tree Ministries, P.O. Box 1452, Maple Grove, Minnesota 55311. Again, Olive Tree Ministries, P.O. Box 1452, Maple Grove, Minnesota 55311. Or you can call our office, 763-559-4444. Again, that's at 763-559-4444.
This program is available on our website in a variety of formats, such as a weekly podcast or a computer download. Our online website address is olivetreeviews.org. That's olivetreeviews.org.
The earth is the Lord's and everything in it, the world and all who live in it. When God looked at all he had made, he said, "It is very good." But creation was subjected to frustration, not by its own choice, but by the will of the one who subjected it, in hope that the creation itself will be liberated from bondage to decay and brought into the freedom and glory of the children of God. We know that the whole creation has been groaning as in the pains of childbirth right up to the present time. For the creation waits in eager expectation for the children of God to be revealed. Creation will be liberated from its bondage to decay and brought into the glorious freedom of the children of God. Let my heart be broken by the things that break the heart of God.
Welcome back to Understanding the Times. Here's Jan Markell.
Welcome back. Glad you could stick with me. I want to press on here, continuing to talk about some of the evangelical environmental efforts that are going on today, which my guest and I feel are perhaps misleading. As a matter of fact, misleading perhaps millions of people, certainly globally misleading millions and millions of people. Again, where we're coming from is that the call of the church, the evangelical church today, is to save souls, not necessarily focus on trees. And I'm not being flippant when I say that. The earth is, well, in a sense, it is dying. It's dying due to sin. And one day, Jesus will return. We will then have a new heaven and a new earth. But we have outfits today suggesting that they're going to establish, they're going to take us back to Eden. It just can't happen, folks. It's just not going to happen. And then as I've tried to emphasize, but please, I mean, yeah, love the earth, take care of it. Of course, that's kind of a no-brainer issue. It's just we want to see the evangelical outfits out there winning souls, saving souls, rather than focusing on environmental issues. Some of them are coming along, and the more radical ones, certainly the secular ones, are screaming, Mother Earth has rights too. At least that's what some of the more radical environmentalists are saying today. And they mean it literally. All right. My guest this hour is Mike Oppenheimer from Let Us Reason, letusreason.org. Mike, we've been hitting on a number of topics, and I do want to get into the mercury issue here eventually, but we have a book. The book is Serving God, Saving the Planet. It says, it's time for us to reclaim our role in God's creation story, except with excitement our calling to save the planet for the sake of Jesus Christ. The Blessed Earth film series inspires Christians to see creation care as a truly biblical call, equips groups with practical steps to take action in their homes, churches, etc. The time to act is now. By imitating Jesus and following him wholeheartedly, the church will become the strongest proponent for saving the planet, and our care, compassion, and joyful generosity will breathe hope into a world longing for redemption. I know what's wrong with that. Please tell me what you think's wrong with that.
Well, it depends what kind of worldview you have for the end times. Many of these people haven't even considered their eschatology involved in all this, because if you're saying you're going to save the planet, God has a different plan.
That's right.
And when we look at the judgment in the book of Revelation for the tribulation period, which is something that people need to believe in because that is what is coming to the world. This book in Revelation 6 talks about a fourth of the world's population to die by plagues, disease, and the beast of the earth. Revelation 8, a third of the grass and trees are burned up. Revelation 8 further on goes, talks about one-third of all the oceans becomes blood. One-third of the sea life dies. Later on, meteor type hits the earth, and one-third of all the fresh water is poisoned. You find in Revelation 16, the oceans become like blood, and all the sea life dies. Fresh water becomes blood, no more fresh drinking water. On and on it goes, even to the point where it says the sun increases in heat and scorches and burns the people.
But, Mike, these organizations would say to you, Mike Oppenheimer, because you see these things written in the Bible and they're coming down the pike, we should therefore disregard environmentalism today because it's all going to blow up anyway.
Well, that's not the attitude that we have.
I hope not.
But the point is this. Either we side with what God says in his word, or we have a whole different worldview that is formulated by those that are really not in favor of the Bible and have an idea that nature is a goddess, a god-like living entity that is controlling the world and reacting toward man. So you can't be on both sides. And you have to understand that the environmental movement, many of them are involved in this kind of spirituality.
That's right.
Others don't have any opinion of God or a goddess or some kind of force that holds the universe or permeates the universe. Some have no view at all about a power or God. Others do. And those are the ones that are more zealous than most that believe that you're harming Mother Earth, then you are affecting everything that is attached to Earth. This is where they come in conflict with the biblical view.
Well, this little clip I just read, and it says here, I just read it a moment ago, by imitating Jesus and following him wholeheartedly, the church will become the strongest proponent for saving the planet. And folks, that's what concerns us, is we're the strongest proponent for saving. No, we're the strongest proponent for saving souls. Okay, they go on. And our care, compassion, and joyful generosity will breathe hope into a world longing for redemption. You see, redemption, it's the redemption of our Lord Jesus Christ. It's not the redemption of saving the earth. It's the redemption Jesus brings when he saves souls. I want to play a short clip. This is American Family Radio's Brian Fisher talking with Cal Beisner. If you want a solid environmental approach, what I think is the Christian biblical approach to environmentalism, I would check out the Cornwall Alliance, cornwallalliance.org. I've had Cal Beisner on with me two or three times, and there's an interesting, very short clip here between Cal Beisner and American Family Radio's Brian Fisher.
You posted as a link to a piece by Rachel Alexander.
Yeah.
And it's her piece is how showboating evangelical elites split with congregations on issues. And she's talking there particularly about the NAE, the National Association of Evangelicals. A lot of our listening audience will be familiar with it. A lot of them won't, but it is an organization that claims to represent about 45,000 different churches from 40 evangelical Protestant denominations. And the point that Rachel Alexander makes, I want to talk about a couple of the other issues before we get back to the environmental issue. But the number of issues on which it's like ruling class Republicans and citizen class Republicans, you got the same thing in the evangelical church. The leaders in the NAE, National Association of Evangelicals, they're against enhanced interrogation, waterboarding, but the people in the pew are for it. They are, the NAE is for nuclear disarmament. People in the pew are for nuclear weapons and for self-defense. The evangelical leaders are for amnesty for illegals. The man in the pew is not. The evangelical elites are against reducing welfare programs. The man in the pew is for turning that kind of care for the poor and needy over to the private sector.
Yeah.
So there's this host of issues on which evangelical elites, the ruling class evangelicals, have parted ways with the ordinary evangelicals that make up their churches and sit in the pews. But also, she highlights the fact that there's a big difference between evangelical elites and people in the pew on the issue of environmentalism. Talk to us about that.
Yeah, well, the so-called evangelical elites, represented in large part by the Board of Trustees, Board of Directors of the National Association of Evangelicals, tends to very strongly embrace belief in dangerous man-made global warming and in the necessity of reducing CO2 emissions and other greenhouse gas emissions in order to fight it. But as a matter of fact, only 33% of evangelicals consider global warming a major issue, compared to 55% of non-evangelicals. So the evangelical elite actually line up better with the non-evangelicals than they do with the evangelicals.
Cal, let me interject here, because to me that's a striking statistic. Only 33% of evangelicals consider global warming a major issue, compared to 55% of non-evangelicals. Now, to me, that makes evangelicals out there on the leading edge. They're on the cutting edge. They're the ones that are thinking scientifically. They're the ones that are thinking objectively. They're the ones that have a healthy skepticism about this so-called consensus. So so I want to ask if you want to, if you can confirm that, if you think that's what's going on, because the meme out there is evangelicals are these kind of backwoods knuckleheads, uneducated, poor, easy to command. But this would indicate maybe the opposite is true.
In fact, it does. Besides that, by the way, that 33% figure is from a poll that's over a year old and during the time since then, belief across the board in dangerous man-made global warming and that it's a major issue that needs to be dealt with has been declining all over America. And one must assume that that's particularly the case among evangelicals as well. So it's actually probably even smaller now among evangelicals. But I think there are some good reasons why evangelicals have had that skepticism toward it. The Apostle Paul tells us to test all things and hold fast what is good. And the standard by which we're supposed to test is biblical revelation about God and his creation and man and everything else. We're supposed to understand everything biblically. You know, if you've got an omniscient designer, an omnipotent creator, and a faithful sustainer of the earth and its climate system, it becomes inherently very difficult to believe that a minute change in atmospheric chemistry, carbon dioxide going from 0.027% of the atmosphere to 0.039% of the atmosphere, is going to cause catastrophe.
Mike Oppenheimer, and by the way, folks, you are listening to Understanding the Times Radio. I'm Jan Markell. Mike, what were your thoughts when you heard that clip?
Well, I agree with them wholeheartedly, where the whole idea is God holds the environment. You know, we're not saying to ignore being a steward, but we need to be cautious and prudent in becoming an environmental soldier instead of a soldier for the Lord and his purposes, which are not the same. And Nehemiah 9:6 says, "You alone are the Lord. You have made heaven, the heaven of heavens, and all their hosts, and the earth and everything on it, the seas and all that is in them, and you preserve them all." Everything is in God's hands. Hebrews 1:3 says, God upholds nature. He upholds all things by the word of his power. And to think that, you know, mankind is going to come along and make irreparable damage, which is exactly what Richard Cizik, president of the New Evangelical Partnership for the Common Good, actually says. He says the idea that we can't irreparably damage this planet by our actions runs contrary to all that is taught in the scriptures. No. And he launched the Evangelical Climate Initiative,
right,
which
mm-hmm.
in 2006 turned a lot of people's heads and is now has 350 evangelical leaders. You know, we shouldn't be going on consensus just like the global warming scientists went on consensus and said, well, it's settled because all the scientists say it's settled. I came across this interesting quote by best-selling author Michael Crichton, who said, "I regard consensus science as an extremely pernicious development that ought to be stopped cold in its tracks. Historically, the chain of consensus has been the first refuge of scoundrels. It is a way to avoid debate by claiming that the matter is already settled. Whenever you hear the consensus of scientists agrees on something or other, reach for your wallet because you're being had."
Yeah. Larry, what were your thoughts when you heard particularly the point that Beissner and Brian Fisher were making, that there are evangelical elites, but the people in the pews, and that's three of us today, folks, and maybe some of you listening, the people in the pews don't go along with this. I guess it doesn't matter.
Well, it does matter. As a former pastor, Dan, you and I have had many, many conversations about who is leading this church. They're inventing things that the Bible doesn't talk about. You and I had a conversation about Isaiah. Isaiah says in the 51st chapter that the earth will wear out like a garment. Now, where does that fit into global warming? I mean, Isaiah, back thousands of years ago, saw it happening.
I've got that verse right in front of me. "Lift up your eyes to the heavens and look at the earth beneath. For the heavens vanish like smoke. The earth will wear out like a garment, and they who dwell in it will die in like manner."
And here's the point. The point is that if they're not using God's word as an eternal source, then you have to invent things. And I think many of the leaders in the evangelical community are inventing issues and topics that are not biblically based.
I totally agree. I want to read a quote by Czech President Václav Klaus. And he says this. He says, "I used to live in a similar world called communism. And I know it led to the worst environmental damage the world has ever experienced. I feel threatened now, not by global warming, as I don't see any, but by a global warming doctrine, which I consider a new and dangerous attempt to control and mastermind my life and our lives in the name of controlling climate and temperature. Now, Klaus cautions that the environmental movement warns of imminent mass poverty and starvation for billions, but that this is just a ploy. He suggests that the secular and government-driven effort to battle climate change is motivated by their desire to control and redistribute the wealth and to reduce the population. And then he concludes by saying this. This is, again, Czech President Václav Klaus. He says, quote, "Global warming alarmists want to change us. They want to change our behavior, our way of life, our values. They want to restrict freedom. They know what is good for us. They are not interested in climate. What is in danger is freedom, not climate." He then went on to describe the parallels between the loss of freedom under communism and the new global warming doctrine. Now, this is why some of us are alarmed, folks, that the evangelical outfits, be they Blessed Earth, Restoring Eden, there's a number of them, Evangelical Environmental Network, and I don't think that they have any kind of a, they don't have a communist agenda, but they're not perceiving things as biblically as I think they should be perceiving things biblically. Mike, how do you respond to what Václav Klaus has to say here?
He said in his Blue Planet and Green Shackles book, "I understand that global warming is a religion conceived to suppress human freedom." And coming from a communist worldview,
yes.
He knows very well when he sees something similar. So it is a religion, has religious connotations because it's going to change everything you live by. Your life is going to completely be engrossed in looking at the world in a completely different way because the environmentalists, you know, they are looking at everything that is being bought and sold and used in a different way than we normally would. Now, it's good to be conscious of what you're doing so that you're not harming things, but you can take it to an extreme,
right,
and engulf your life and remove yourself from a biblical worldview and the faith by doing these things. And I think a lot of these people that are involved in this have not researched it thoroughly, have not seen where the movement has come from, what they're teaching, and have actually just stepped into the same arena, completely naive of what they're getting into. For instance, one of the leaders in the Emergent Church movement, which is a movement we certainly wouldn't agree with, but Leonard Sweet, who they look as an intelligent man teaching this movement, says in his Quantum Spirituality book, "In the ecological model of the church, the earth is not separate from us. Indeed, we are in symbiotic relationship with the earth." And so you have this idea of creation spirituality, mm-hmm. the Matthew Fox idea that, you know,
yes.
we're all united together and there's a new religion rising up and it has to do a lot with Mother Nature instead of, you know, the idea of Father God. And so there is a whole nother worldview
yes,
being fostered on the church that they are completely unaware of.
All right. And Mike, you say, and I'm quoting you here, "the facts do not matter when it comes to the subject of global warming." And that is so true. And for some, it is as close to a religious experience as they will ever come. And that's our concern, folks. The religious experience, it has become to many the closest thing they have to a faith. And it is faith in foolish things, because the faith needs to be in the salvation grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, rather than putting our time, energy, efforts, money, everything into the efforts of, again, saving trees rather than saving souls. This is just a little heads up here, folks. We're doing something different today. We're going to have an extended program today for our electronic audience, and you can visit my website and you will be directed to a link where you can listen online on your computer, or you can download the program into your mobile device. And we're going to do this now and then, not every week. This is just sort of a web extra. And if you don't have a computer, you can consider being a CD subscriber. You'll get everything, including these little web extras. CD subscription is just $15 a month. and you'll get all the programming recorded for radio and online extras. So you can give my office a call about that. Monday through Friday is best, 763-559-4444, 763-559-4444. Again, this program is posted to my website on Saturday. Check it out at olivetreeviews.org, olivetreeviews.org, views as in viewpoint. My guest, Mike Oppenheimer, reach him at letusreason.org, letusreason.org. And again, we're going to have a new website in probably a matter of 7 to 10 days or so, olivetreeviews.org. We hope it will be far, far more user-friendly than what we've had recently. Mike, if you'll just stay online, we'll continue this after the outro music ends. Again, folks, I want to thank you for listening. We often hear God bless America, but remember, he only will if America blesses God. And as I like to close so many programs, if we don't maintain that looking up attitude, that looking up perspective, we really do get dragged down. Okay, so look ahead and trust him, look back and thank him, look around and serve him, and always look up and expect him. And again, if you are on the computer, again, we will be continuing our discussion. It will not be posted, however, until later on Saturday, olivetreeviews.org. And just follow the links there. We're just going to continue this for another 30 minutes or so. Thanks for listening. We'll talk to you next time.
Understanding the Times Radio makes it easy for you to re-listen to this program. At our website, you can simply listen online, order a CD of your favorite program, or sign up to become a CD subscriber. We also offer a weekly podcast that will be sent to you electronically every week. All of this can be found online at olivetreeviews.org. That's olivetreeviews.org. If you're not online, call our office at 763-559-4444. That's 763-559-4444.
Thanks for listening to Understanding the Times Radio. Jan Markell expresses her appreciation for your continued support of this ministry. Without your prayers and your financial help, this kind of message would not be available to you or millions of other listeners around the country and throughout the world on the Internet. Can you become a prayer and financial partner with us today? For more information about this ministry, join us online at olivetreeviews.org.